Our reading tonight, as you'll be aware if you've been coming to Encounter for any length of time, we've been working our way through, starting in the Old Testament, at the instances of the Spirit. I'll say. So wherever the Spirit kind of crops up in Scripture, that's what we've been looking at. And we're in Isaiah now. And Isaiah is kind of quite lengthy and is wont to go on quite a bit. And it's kind of important that we set what we read in tonight's scripture in the context. If you were around last time Gareth did an encounter in the evening, do you remember he had a map up about the kind of the Israel, Judah in particular, in the middle there. It's a little bit like, if you want to say, that's Derby. And then they've got Nottingham, the Assyrians and whatnot, coming down. And if we put it into our understanding, what Judah had done, they'd gone to Egypt and say, big boys coming with big sticks. Please come and help us, rather than relying on God. And of course, Egypt said, yeah, great, we'll come and help you. We'd rather fight this empire on your turf than on ours. So yeah, we'll come and help you. And it'll cost you, obviously. Just like Staffordshire coming and saying, yeah, we'll come and fight Nottinghamshire in Derbyshire because it saves doing it around Burton. Because war's a messy business. And people and land get damaged. So, into that context, we get our reading. And in the NIV, it's entitled Women of Jerusalem. Now, blokes, we can't kind of get complacent about this. You'll see why as we read it. Why is it addressed to the women of Jerusalem? Well, possibly because at the time, in that kind of setting, maybe they'd let the blokes get on with doing what the blokes decided the only they could do, and the women had got on with doing the things they thought were important. So this is what God says through Isaiah. He says, "You women who are so complacent, rise up and listen to me, you daughters who feel secure. Hear what I have to say. In a little more than a year, you who feel secure will tremble. The grape harvest will fail, and the harvest of fruit will not come. Tremble, you complacent women. Shudder, you daughters who feel secure. Strip off your fine clothes and wrap yourself in rags. Beat your breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vines, and for the land of my people, a land overgrown with thorns and briars. Yes, mourn for all the houses of merriment, and for this city of revelry. The fortress will be abandoned, the noisy city deserted. Citadel and watchtower will become a wasteland forever. The delight of donkeys, a pasture for flocks. Till the Spirit is poured out on us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. The Lord's justice will dwell in the desert, his righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace, its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Though hail flattens the forest and the city is level completely, how blessed you will be, sowing your seed by every stream and letting your cattle and donkeys range free." Excuse me a minute. I suppose if we wanted to kind of take a bit of an overview of tonight, verse 15 is like a pivot Okay? And the bit before it kind of works up to it, and then verse 15, you've got this pivot, and then everything else that follows on as a result of verse 15. Okay? Till the Spirit is poured out on us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field. And the fertile field seems like a forest. You see, I suppose, if we just speak briefly to the text as it was and as it, what it meant back then, I suppose that there's an element to which the people were enjoying life under God, but not acknowledging Him. They were enjoying the benefits of life under God's hand, but not acknowledging the hand that was over them. So that when things became a bit pressured and things looked like they were going to be happening, rather than saying, who is our provider? Who is the one that's taking care of us? Who is our king? They look for other alternatives. And to an extent, I guess, what God is saying here is actually what I'm going to do for you is exactly what it seems you want. I'm going to withdraw my favour. I'm going to, if you like, make it look like I'm withdrawing my hands in a way that your actions suggest that you actually want. Without any of the inconvenience of having to acknowledge me. Just to, again, to kind of speak into the passage, some bits of it in our kind of culture might seem a bit odd. The idea that strip off your fine clothes and wrap yourself in rags, that were a sign of repentance. A sign of, you know, we've got this wrong. Please take pity on us. But I suppose, actually, within kind of within their setting, you know, they were taking off the prosperity that some of them were getting security from. And I suppose, in a way, as well, it's a bit like letting what was on the inside actually be represented on the outside as well. Now, if you're at all interested in prophecy and being a prophet, if you've been around church for any length of time, you'll know that what tends to happen when prophecy is delivered is quite often it can be quite vague. Or it can be direct, but kind of not implementation specific. But here Isaiah's got he's got a within a year this is going to happen. Now this is off the point, but what a relationship and what a for us as people who are possibly trying to look into pressing into prophecy, to actually stand with Isaiah and say Isaiah was so close to God. And his knowledge of God, by that I don't mean he's read so many books, but that his knowledge of what God's like was that he feels with confidence that God said it to him, it's going to happen in a year. And it's really important that, because within this context, if, as I just said, you know, these things are going to happen, the people of the time could have said, well, yeah, but, you know, when? We'll just carry on until it does. There's nothing like a deadline to kind of set your focus. You know, if you know your mother's coming to visit, suddenly cleaning the house becomes that bit more important, doesn't it? Yeah? That's why our mother never visits us. If you know you've got a piece of research or a paper that's got to be in, knowing that it's got to be in on Friday, kind of sets your mind to, we need to do something about this. So Isaiah says, you know, this is going to happen in a year. Now the upside to that is, yes, it sets the people's minds. The downside to that is that in 13 months' time, Isaiah's got some accounting to do. If it's happened, great. Well, not so great for the people, but great for Isaiah. If it's not, he's got to kind of figure that. He's got to say, well, actually, I got that wrong. I misheard that. As people who are wanting to press into prophetic, we need to be willing not to stake our reputation, because that's not what we're doing. We don't have a reputation as prophets or not. But to invest into what we believe God said to us. And not to kind of dress it up and make it a safe prophecy. But as people who are hearing prophecy, we've also got to be kind of gracious enough to say, you know what, 13 months further on, yeah, you did get that one wrong, but we still love you. Because you had the faithfulness to actually offer it in the first place. Anyway, let's get back on to what we're supposed to be looking at. So within a year, everything that kind of was normal was going to become abnormal. Everything that was going to be kind of smooth running would become unsmooth and faltering. Failures of harvests, austerity, life would become suddenly much tougher for these people. The things that they'd kind of built up as being important would crumble and be shown up for what they are, I suppose, not that important. Thought occurs to me, you had a covenant service, we had our covenant service this morning, didn't we? And we dedicate ourselves to God for a year. I wonder what, within a year's time, that we built up, that we think's important, will be shown to be not important. Verse 15. Everything's terrible. Till the Spirit is poured on us from on high. And the desert becomes a fertile field. A couple of things to pick up from that verse. That's the verse we're supposed to be looking at tonight. Firstly, the source, the direction. God takes the initiative. The Spirit comes from on high. But it's interesting that what's gone before has prepared the people for what God is then going to send. I don't know if you can remember back into last summer, we had a couple of weeks that were dry and hot, yeah. And then when it rained, the rain just shut off and did no good to anyone because the ground was too hard for it to go in. What it needed were a bit of breaking up. What it needed were a little bit of disruption. What it needed were a little bit of preparation. So that when the rain came, it could soak in. Maybe these things that had happened to bring these people to a point of repentance. That's what we see them doing. That's what we see Isaiah encouraging them to do. Not just kind of academic in your head repentance, but physical repentance. Whole life repentance. To be in a place that when the Spirit comes, He can come and not bounce off, but come in. So the source and the preparation But look at the result. The result is fertility. Not just sustainability, but fertility. Did you see that? It says, the desert becomes a fertile field. It's not kept in its arid state, it becomes something better. And the fertile field doesn't lose out either. That becomes like a rainforest. Just think about what God is doing amongst us in our individual lives and as a people, where we may well have desert places, but when His Spirit comes, that will become a fertile field. When we invite God's Spirit to be poured into that situation, into that area of our life, it becomes a fertile field. Fertility, not just sustainability. But better still, in the areas of our lives, our ministry, that God has entrusted to us, in the areas of our church, where we're having success, when God's Spirit comes, then fertile fields become like rainforests. Not just sustainability, but fertility. And you know, you only need to kind of look around outside in faith, or cast your mind back, that where things are fertile, there's growth. There's fruit. Verses 16 and onwards kind of unpack a little bit of that fruit. A new way of life. A new harvest. Yeah. I wonder if, maybe. A new harvest. Peace. Peaceful dwelling places. Security. Quietness and confidence. It's funny. Do you ever just have to stop and laugh at God? Not at Him, but with Him. It's better to laugh with Him. You know, the Bible's full of people who kind of laughed at Him and didn't last very long. I was preparing and thinking about and mulling over this passage on Thursday. I was in a garden in Little Over on Thursday afternoon, and in half an hour I'd been hailed on, snowed on, rained on, sleeted on, and gone back to glorious sunshine. Though hail flattens the forest and the city is level completely, I thought, don't take it too literally, Lord. Though everything seems to have been wiped away, how blessed it will be after the Spirit has fallen. If we want the fruit, we need the precipitation. If we want the fruit, we need the precipitation. There's a garden in Little Over, and they're into hydroponics. It's not. The growing strawberry is not ash. It's not. And they get, by forcing, force feeding, if you like, they get pumice of strawberries. But you go out to Swarkston, and when it's rained, they attract lorries full of strawberries. If we want the fruit, we've got to have the precipitation. We've got to have the rain. We've got to have the Spirit in us. The New Testament's got a lot to say about the fruits of the Spirit being at work within us. as we grow it in partnership, as we yield our attitudes, become more like Jesus, and God grows his fruit in our lives and in our church, his church. So I guess for us, if we're going to kind of take this beyond just, well done Isaiah, good lad, gutsy prophet. If we're going to take it beyond it being a kind of history lesson and an expectancy lesson for God's people in the Middle East, if we're going to earth it here and now, we've got to apply this to our lives. We've got to say, Lord, where is it? As individuals, as groups, as a church, as a denomination, whatever. What is it that actually we need to be repenting of? What is it that kind of we need to break the surface up of and ask you to rein your spirit into it? Not just the rubbishy bits of our lives, you know, the desert bits, great. We want them to be fertile fields. But also the productive bits, because we want them to be more productive for God. You'd be pleased to know, times have changed. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not need to be stripping off. We do not need to be beating up ourselves. But we do need to be coming before God. As in a way you've already done this morning, say, look, this thing that for so long I've called mine, I'm actually going to start calling it yours. Because in reality that's what it is. This life, this job, this ministry, that ministry, this church, this endeavour, that initiative. I'm going to start calling it yours. Send your spirit and make it fertile. Bless you, have fruitful weeks. Amen.